holiday was a pagan holiday, and that's what the pagans did. Don't you feel that you're doing Christ a discredit, a disservice? How can you, as a pastor, I just thought that I'd ask you off the top of my head, how could you, as a pastor, justify such tomfoolery? Now, these aren't my words, but these are the words of some Christians today. How would you answer them, Pastor Zerichs? Yeah, my pastor believed like that too. I had one just like that.
If you play dominoes or big whips or spades or backgammon, man, they believe that that was only of Satan. Now, if you have any historical understanding of Christendom, Christians have always taken the common era of the day, whether it be the winter solstice, whether it be October 31st.
Yeah, Halloween.
Any particular festival.
Yeah.
And what they did was, rather than aligning with the particular culture, they did their thing unto Christ. Now, you know, you can get into the argument of the St. Nicholas that did his thing, you know, historically. You can get into the argument of Kris Kringle that did his thing, or Santa Claus and all that. You can get into those arguments.
Yeah. Right, right.
In the Charlie Brown series, they asked Charlie Brown to go out and find a Christmas tree for Christmas.
Right.
And because he found this pathetic tree and things didn't work, it took this kid by the name of Linus that sucked on his thumb and held this blanket to love this tree. And Linus broke out and quoted Luke chapter 1 and talked about unto you this day a baby's given.
Right. Yes.
They give from point A, person A, to person B. A lot of times you have people giving to their family members. I don't mind doing Christmas because my kids get a general concept. That concept with my kids right now in the elementary form is the fact that when they see the reindeers and they see the Christmas lights, it is a joyous occasion, number one.
Right. Sounds like me growing up.
So we get into a conceptual analysis to where my kids in a very elementary phase understand that there is a reward for doing good. There is not a reward for doing bad. Doing bad, i.e., was considered to be sin. So my kids, and I think most of the kids in America, when they think about Santa Claus and they think about what happens on Christmas, of course they associate it with this big fat dude that gives toys. Well, if you take that analysis, then you really wouldn't have a problem with Christmas because the fat dude has to work for a whole year to provide all these toys to some kids.
Right. Yes.
You know, for the Christians that's sitting up here saying that, well, you know, Christmas, I'm not into all the shabazz and all this. Well, then aren't you going to work on December 25th? You could arbitrarily tell your employer to, you know, open up the doors so you can work on that day. But a lot of people, John, are going to take benefit from the so-called national holiday. And I think it's kind of cool that even though in its limited phase, this day is still recognized and given credit to a man that was born over 2,000 years ago. You can get into
Yes.
Now they say happy holidays.
Right.
Well, why is it that they say happy holidays? Because they don't want you to mention Christ. So if they don't want you to mention Christ, they don't have no problem with you mentioning Santa Claus. They don't have a problem with you mentioning reindeer. They don't have a problem with individuals on Ramadan or doing their thing or Hanukkah. But for some reason, even though you have this mystique and this hysteria over this Christmas holiday, everyone still know that refers to Christ.
Yeah.
So at that point, no, John, I don't have a problem with it. And yes, I went out and bought a weed for my kids, just like everybody else went out and bought a weed for their kids. And we're going to sit up and have some weed fun December 25th.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to tell Ashley, Ashley, you know you would have got another gift, but because of this infraction you did that we don't support in our family that you did in September, you don't get that gift.
That's wonderful. Man, that is wonderful, Pastor. You know, I'm kind of glad that you called because I was right in the midst of a webcast and I mentioned that the first part of the hour. And it's just great to know that there are other pastors, not to defend your thesis, but to retain your thesis. Don't let anyone come with antithesis against what you know this time of the year means for your family. I would say, as a matter of fact, I'm invited out to a fellow professor at the college on Christmas Day to have dinner with him. I've never been to his house. We've just had a few discussions. He knows that I teach at the college and he knows that I'm widowed. He's invited me by for dinner at 2:00. I will go and participate in that time of us sharing the love between each other. It's just something that we do. Why? Look, one last question, then I'm going to let you go, Pastor Reamer. Why are Christians so anti this during this time of the year? What do you think is the idea behind this negativity about us being involved in the Christmas spirit, quote unquote? Okay.
To the day, you know, I kind of likened it to the thing of hip-hop, how hip-hop in its genesis didn't have much support or backing from corporate America until it had a value attached to it. Then everybody wants to do hip-hop or be hip-hop. So I think a lot of people are anti that because of the association of the attachment of what the holiday brings. A lot of people are suffering right about now. You know, they can't make ends meet. And for most people, they look at the day as being a negative point because they can't give what others are giving to individuals.
Right.
So that in and of itself is going to have a position of stress.
Yeah.
To certain people. But I think in large part, people are ignorant, man. They're ignorant. Just the same way you have a lot of people that would go from fellowship to fellowship and cloud ministries to be excellent ministries, but they're not because of the lack of education within the local church.
Right. Well, listen, Reamer, I'm going to go on with the rest of my webcast. I really appreciate that call tonight. You called at the right time.
Absolutely.
God bless you. I love you, man. And I may drop by to see you Christmas. All right, Derek. Take care, brother. All right. Bye-bye. Boy, what a wonderful impromptu call from a pastor calling me here in the Lucy Coleman studio. Just talking about it. See, Christmas, what Christmas means to him, that's their tradition. Doesn't have to be your tradition. It really doesn't have to be that. See, a lot of people think that because they have their tradition, they want everyone else to live under their tradition. I you know, and maybe I just draw those kinds of people that are not inclined to let other people drag them alone and to make them become something that they aren't. I also like being independent of other people's ideas. Now, let me share this with you. If your thesis is family, celebration, cooking good food, Christmas tree, decorations, lights, it would be good for you to know the origin of all those things. Most of the origins of everything that we do is out of the pagan world. If you research practically everything that we do in America, it's out of pagan world. We have so twisted the meaning of scripture in our churches, just like a prosperity. You know, can you imagine somebody pushing the prosperity gospel, or somebody under the influence of the prosperity gospel, and yet they're going to talk about Christmas in a negative way? And their whole lifestyle is negative in terms of what the Bible says. So let's pray for one another that we may treat one another with godly love and as opposed to godly contempt. So Mary's conception was definitely from the Holy Spirit and not from her fiancé Joseph or any of the man whatsoever. We need to clarify that in our minds. God guarantees this to give us a perfect Savior, because, see, we don't need nobody that had a earthly father being our Savior. That wouldn't work for me, because then I'd say, wait a minute, I know what I'm capable of, debauchery altogether, quantified, and now here's some other dude come out the dirt pile just like me, and yet he's going to be my Savior? No. I want a Savior that did not have a father like I had. Ah, yes, but I know what kind of heavenly father. You see, the Lord encouraged Joseph to marry Mary, that lovely young lady, and to be a companion and a guide to her in order to protect her from the extremity of the law, because the extremity of the law said one thing as opposed to another. Now, you may be saying, man, what you talk about? Well, you got to go with me to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, and so that we can talk about that a little bit, see how that works. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10 says, if there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, the one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That was a law. That was a law. Now you may be saying, oh man, that's an extreme book. No, that's what it was in the Bible. You didn't just go around having sex with whoever you want to have sex with and then talking about strap it on and so nothing would happen. No, these kinds of individuals were not the kind of individuals that God chose to bring the Savior into the world. And this is a wonderful thing to behold. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 25 tells us that though Joseph and Mary were married, that they never lived together as husband and wife until after the birth of the Savior. And I think that this is wonderful, because here God takes very special care to insert this verse in the Bible that I read earlier in intimate detail to show that the unborn child could not possibly be contaminated by a human father. I didn't want to get, you know, kind of like rowdy with this, but while the fetus was growing in Mary, Joseph was not putting human spermazola in her in any way. See, this is a beautiful thing. This shows not only restraint, but this also shows God's divine plan. Oh, here again, you got to believe this. I'm not going to try to force you to believe it. Ah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We're moving wonderfully here. We've already gone over the introduction and the virgin birth foretold in the Old Testament. And then we just completed going over the historic fulfillment of this particular prophecy. And that was a wonderful thing that we've gone over. Next time I come to you, we're going to talk about the virgin birth as taught in the scripture, because I think that we need to go there. Well, this is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio with this very special Christmas presentation today. Let's listen to some more Christmas music. I think you like this number here. It's called the Joy Medley, because that's what Christmas is all about. That's what Pastor Reamer was talking about. And if there's no joy in your heart, you can have it. if you ask God to give it to you. His joy, the joy that this season brings. And I know through human circumstances, a lot of things happen and you're not very happy.
Angels, we have heard on high.
Yes, we have.
Sweetly singing, oh, the place.
Sing it, man.
And the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Lord, oh, oh, we are in excelsis Deo. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun. Fill us with the light of day.
Ooh. You know, just listening to this music is a joy during this time of the year. To some of you, it's not going to be too much of a joy because there's a lot of things going on in your life that takes that joy away. And you know what? I just want to share this with you. Sin takes my joy away because there's this constant battle, this constant fight going on in the human psyche. Joy only comes when sin is suppressed. And Jesus Christ came into the world some 2,000 years ago to finally, once and for all, suppress sin, that it may not affect us and cast us down. I would pray that as you continue to study with me, as we come upon Christmas Day, that you would understand the true significance, the biblical significance of why we Christians get real happy about this day. And if you can't get that happy about this day, it's possibly because you're looking at it from a completely different perspective. Thank you so much for coming to the website. This is Pastor John saying God bless you. And whatever you do, stay in the Word. Join me next time.